It's sure great to see everybody here tonight. 2 weeks ago today, Christy and I were rolling into town here as we had moved down from Nashville, Tennessee. And the Sutherlands were kind enough to let us stay with them for a few weeks until we figured out what our interim home would be. Little did they know that 2 years later they would still be receiving mail. I don't know what the deal is, but there's a couple of places that still have not got the mail forwarding figured out yet, so they still receive mail from the Great Courses Company. Anyhow, but they were kind enough to let us stay with them for a few weeks. So I've been reflective this week about this little anniversary and our 2 years here, which we have enjoyed tremendously, and in which you guys have been more of a blessing to us than we could just have ever dreamed, ever have imagined. In the time that I have been here over the last 2 years, I've preached through 3 books of the Bible. The first couple of months that I was here, I at some point started preaching through the book of Philemon. On Sunday night, I did a series, I think it was 3 lessons through the book of Philemon. And then earlier this year, I did a series on Sunday nights through the book of Nehemiah in connection with our series, our focus, I should say earlier last year, on each part doing its part, because everybody in Nehemiah had a part to play in the building of the wall. And then, as you guys know, I just recently finished up preaching a series through the book of Philippians. Now, I don't know what your experience exactly was like where you grew up and what preaching that you heard. But I can tell you that where I grew up, the preacher that I heard, although he was a wonderful man, as I said in the sermon this morning, he was my father in the faith. So far as I can remember, now that's a big assumption because I don't always remember everything right, but I don't actually ever remember him preaching a series going verse by verse through a book of the Bible. I just don't ever remember that. He may have. And when he did, I was just too young and too immature to be paying attention to remember that he did, but I don't remember that. Then when I left home and I came down here to go to school, I don't remember any of the preachers where I worshiped ever preaching a series like that. That style of preaching, sometimes it's called expository, because what you're trying to do is go through a text and expose the meaning verse by verse of what the book has to say. It's just not a style that I was accustomed to hearing growing up. But when I started preaching on my own from the very first year, from the very first work, I decided that I wanted to try to do that some. Obviously not exclusively, not every sermon that I do is that. But I decided that I wanted to preach through books of the Bible periodically. And I thought that since I've been here for a couple of years and since I've done it through a few books, that it might be worthwhile to take at least one lesson and explain why I think that there's some value to that, particularly if a lot of you are like me and you come from a background where maybe you're just not really accustomed to ever hearing somebody preach through books of the Bible very much. So I want to just give you a few reasons tonight why I think there's some value to that. I want you to begin, if you would, by turning back to what our brother Ken read to us at the start of our service tonight over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. The first thing that I just want to say to you tonight as a reason for taking the time to preach through books of the Bible is this. God says in the Bible that he wants us to preach his word and he wants us to hear his word preached. So from the vantage point of my job description, I'm supposed to preach the word. From the vantage point of your job description, you're supposed to get the word. And so preaching through a book of the Bible seems to me to be a great way to accomplish those two objectives. It's a great way for me to preach the word, and it's a great way for you to hear the word. So Paul says here in 2 Timothy 4, I charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus. It's very serious language, right? He's at the end of his life, and to charge someone is to give a very serious, very sober commission to them, which you would expect would be serious for someone who is about to die, who is the judge of the living and the dead. Another element of the sobriety of this command, to consider the judge of all. and his kingdom, preach the word. And then Paul goes on to explain what that's going to involve and why. Now, obviously, there are many ways to preach the word besides simply starting at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1 and going through the end of chapter 4. You can also decide to pick a topic and then try to find verses that are relevant to that topic and preach the word that way. That's what I'm doing tonight, by the way. I'm preaching a topical lesson about preaching verse-by-verse sermons, as it turns out. So there's a lot of ways to do it. And there's nothing wrong with preaching lessons about topics in which you gather together verses. I just think that in addition to that, a great way to make sure you're preaching the word of God is to actually preach the books as God gave them. If you'll turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, it seems to me that this is kind of the idea behind what Paul says to Timothy in the first letter in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says in verse 11, command and teach these things. Verse 12 is the famous verse, let no one despise your youth. Then look at verse 13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. And so I would just say to you that it seems to me one good reason to, from time to time, preach through a book of the Bible is because God wants His Word to be preached. He wants us to hear His Word preached. And a great way to accomplish that is just to preach through a book of the Bible. Not every sermon in the Bible is like this. I mean, think about it. We just studied the book of Hebrews not that long ago. And I suggested to you that in a lot of ways, the book of Hebrews reads more like a sermon than like a letter. Well, if you go to chapter 1 and verse 1, he quotes from all kinds of verses from the Old Testament to make the point that Jesus is the Son and has a greater name. So he's pulling from many parts of the Bible to make a point about a key theme or topic, Jesus as the Son. So there's no question you can pick a topic and put verses together and preach the Word of God effectively. I'm just saying that in addition to that, a good way to preach the Word of God is to preach through a book. I do think there are times in the Bible where people did that. Your Bible pages may still be flexible in the book of Nehemiah. I don't know if your Bible still kind of flips open there a little bit, but if you want to flip back, you remember in Nehemiah chapter 8, there was a gathering that took place at the water gate, which, you know, has a whole different connotation for some of us of a certain age. Watergate was a great sign of disgrace and humiliation and criminal activity. But in the book of Nehemiah, the Watergate is the scene of a great spiritual revival. And here's what the Bible says happens in Nehemiah chapter 8. It says in verse 1, all the people gathered as one man into the square before the Watergate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses. The Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard. It says what day they came. And it says in verse 3, he read it from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning till the midday in the presence of all those people who had assembled together. It says at the end of verse 3 that the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Then if you go down to verse 7, it mentions all of these different people, the various priests, who, it seems to me, the way the Bible is presenting it, basically went out among the people, because it would seem to me this was probably a very large gathering. I mean, you know, far bigger than the number assembled here. And it says at the end of verse 7 that these Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. So it seems to me what was happening is Ezra is reading through the law, and then the priests are going out and helping to explain it to everybody. And then it says in verse 8, they read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. So God wants to hear his word, to have his word preached. He wants us to hear his word preached, preached through the book of the Bible, as in the movie Shane, one of my favorite movies. When the little kid says, "Shane, why do you only use one gun?" He says, "Well, it's as good as any way and better than most." So preaching through a book of the Bible is as good as any way and better than most of trying to preach the word of God. That's reason number one. Here's a second reason, though, that I would give to you to preach through books of the Bible. God's word, we all agree, I believe, because we're here tonight, is supposed to set the agenda for our lives. We are to live under the authority of God's word. If you would go back with me to 2 Timothy, to chapter 2, to another classic passage that talks about how Timothy is to see his responsibility before the word of God. Think about what Paul says to him here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved." The old versions say study. Then the newer translations will say things like give diligence. The English Standard says do your best. "A workman who has no need to be ashamed." So Timothy is to approach his work in the word with a very blue-collar mentality. Roll up your sleeves and get to work, Timothy. He says, "And I want you to do this as a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." The old versions say rightly dividing. And where that language comes from is the old adage of the carpenter, which says, "Measure twice and cut once." And the words here for rightly divide in the old King James Version has to do with cutting. And just like a carpenter measures carefully, he wants to handle very carefully before he cuts. Paul says to Timothy, "You be a good worker and you handle this word carefully so that when you make your cuts, so that when you use it, you're using it properly." Now, what's the point then, and what's the connection between making sure God's word sets the agenda, handling the word accurately, and preaching through books of the Bible? What's the connection with these points? Well, think about this. This morning, I preached a lesson about the heart. So, from time to time, I tell you all about my brilliant strategies for preaching, right? So guess what I did to prepare for that lesson? You'll just never believe what I did. I got a concordance out, and I looked up the word heart, and then I wrote down verses, and then I put them together, and then I preached. It's so complicated. I know. It's just stunning. Adelia's mouth just hanging open right now. She can't believe how complicated preaching is. It's unbelievable. Well, the danger, though, is this. When you are doing a lesson like that, where you have a topic in mind, and you decide to go hunt for verses to deal with that topic, if you're not careful, you just randomly start picking verses out without any awareness of the context of those verses. And the next thing you know, you may be taking a verse to make a point that in fact has nothing to do with what the context of that verse actually was about. In fact, you may even make the opposite point of what the verse was actually about, if you're not careful. So we believe that we are supposed to live under the authority of God's word. When you preach through a book of the Bible, instead of having a point or topic in mind and then going to seek verses to support your point, what you're simply doing is trying to say, "Okay, Paul, what did you mean in Philippians 1, verse 1? What did you mean in Philippians 1, verse 2? And you've just got to move your way right through the text, and you're letting the text have the agenda and control what you're doing. I did pick what book to preach through, so I guess there was that certain aspect of it. But other than that, as I'm moving through the text, I'm having to just try to see, okay, what comes next and what does it say? Furthermore, think about it like this. Some of us have experienced a situation in which we've heard a lot of preaching that was very sectarian. And what I mean by that is preaching that tended to focus on only a few points, on only a handful of issues, where all the sermons start to sound the same. And it's just like every month it's the same thing, just rehashed. Well, how does that happen? Well, because if somebody has an agenda, what will start to happen is the Bible starts to serve their agenda. But when you dedicate yourself to periodically preaching through books of the Bible, then you are in principle saying, you know what, from time to time, I'm just going to have to say to myself, I'm going to let this book completely determine the agenda. And what's more, when you guys, for example, know that I'm preaching through a book, let's say I just finished Philippians, for example. If you see me skip over verses, if you see me skip over sections of it, then that ought to clue you in. Well, why is he not talking about that? Why is he skipping over that? It should train the congregation to say, wait a minute, we need to let this book guide us. We need to let this book call the agenda. We need to let this book determine for us what we're studying. So do you see what my point is? The Word of God is supposed to set the agenda for us. And by disciplining yourself to preach through a book of the Bible, it makes you make sure that you're really attentive to the context of every verse you study. And it also helps you to keep balance in your teaching so that you make sure you're not just always picking your favorite topics to preach about, but you're actually just trying to teach whatever it is that is in the Word of God. Isn't this the idea behind what Paul says here in 2 Timothy 3, where he says in verse 14, as for you, continue in what you've learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you've learned it, how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God, inspired by God, other translations say, and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, competent, thoroughly equipped, have everything you need, sufficient in every way is the idea, equipped for every good work. Now, it's possible for any kind of preaching, whether you do a topic or verse by verse, if the preacher does not try to be a good workman, to be slipshod. But at least in principle, when you preach verse by verse through a book, it gives the Word a chance to set the agenda in a very positive way. All right, so God wants His Word to be preached. This is a pretty good way to do it. Number two, God wants His Word to set the agenda, and preaching through a book of the Bible enables His Word to set the agenda. Here's another reason I would ask you to think about why preaching through a book of the Bible can be a really good thing. Because God deserves the glory in preaching, not the preacher. So think with me about 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, this famous passage where we sometimes derive the slogan, speak as the Bible speaks. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, as an aside, and you know, there's no way to say this without it sounding like I'm fussing at you, but I'm not. It don't take it that way at all. But I'll just say this. Whether the sermon is a topical sermon, or whether the sermon is a verse-by-verse kind of sermon, it should always come from the Word of God, right? We all agree with that. And, of course, the preacher needs to be using the Word of God when he preaches. But the congregation needs to also be using the Word of God as they listen and take in the lesson. So it just stands to reason to me that if the preacher is going to use the Word of God when he preaches, that the congregations should also use the Word of God when they listen. That makes sense to you? I think that makes some sense. So what I would say to you is this. If you have not, as of late, been in the habit of bringing a Bible with you and following along during lessons, it's a start of a new year, and this is a great time to just say, hey, you know what? This would be a great time to start a new habit. Because if we all agree, whatever kind of sermon it is, verse by verse or topical, good or lousy, it's supposed to come from the Word of God, then maybe it'd be a good idea for me to follow along in the Word of God, all right? I'm a big fan of using a printed Bible because I think electronic gizmos are too tempting to cause distractions, but I'm old school and I recognize that. But whether it's whether you've got an ancient papyri scroll or you're using a digital scroll, I really don't care ultimately, but I think it'd be great if you brought something to follow along with when you're hearing the Word of God preached. I think you get a lot more out of it. All right, so having said that, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. There's a general statement here. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace, manifold grace. Many ways God has given grace. There's two specific ways that Peter talks about. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So Peter says, broadly speaking, there are two ways that God gives us grace. The grace to work for him. One is the gift to serve. You ever known somebody who is just a natural born servant? They just have a servant's heart and the ability to serve. Peter says that's one way. And he says what that person should do is they should serve by the strength that God supplies. But the other thing he talks about is one who teaches, one who speaks. And just as the one who serves, serves by the strength God supplies, the one who speaks, speaks the words God supplies. Or as he says it here, they speak the oracles of God, the utterances of God. And so speak the oracles of God, we sometimes say. Speak as the Bible speaks. All right, here then is the conclusion that Peter draws from that. The one who serves, serves by the strength God gives. The one who speaks, speaks the words God gives. So that what? The end of verse 11. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Why is God glorified? Because the one who serves, serves by the strength God gives, right? The one who speaks, speaks by the word God gives. That makes sense to you? And since the serving one serves by God's strength, and the speaking one speaks by God's word, guess who ultimately gets the glory? God does. So he says then at the end of verse 11, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All preaching, therefore, ultimately, Peter says, is supposed to be the word of God being preached so that it is God and not the preacher who gets the glory. That's supposed to be true whether the lesson is topical or whether the lesson is verse by verse. One of the reasons, though, that I think verse by verse preaching is really helpful in this regard is for this reason. Sometimes what can happen, unintentionally, is when we hear a topical lesson, because sometimes topical lessons require a certain amount of creativity. There can tend to be praise that is given to the one who gives the lesson because they've cobbled together this topic. Now, of course, ultimately, what we learn from this passage is whatever creativity they have comes from who, ultimately? Comes from God. So ultimately the praise goes to God. But sometimes what can happen is a topical sermon can lend itself to thinking that the person who gives the lesson somehow receives the glory. But when you just preach through a book of the Bible, there's no creativity here. It's hard work. All you're trying to do is to say, hey, Paul, what do you mean here? Peter, what do you mean here? And then how do I tell it to these people? That's it. There's no creativity to it. It's just grunt work. That's all there is to it. And so it is God's word that is receiving the focus, and so it is God who is supposed to get the glory. But there's even a deeper issue to it here than this. Actually, I think, Joe, we were talking about this. Were we talking about the Willow Creek Church the other day, one of those seeker churches, where this is the big church up in the Chicago suburbs many years ago that was on the cutting edge of what's called the seeker-sensitive movement. What they did is they literally did marketing to ask their community, what do you want in a church? And then they did programs to give it to them. Now, they have recently, in the last few years, said, you know, we don't think that's been the right thing to do. Here's a couple of problems with that, though. You are asking the broad community of people who are not Christians, what's important to you and what do you want, when by definition, they don't know what's important. Because if they knew what was important, they'd be Christians. It's like asking your children, hey, what do you think would be really good for you to eat for supper? Do they choose broccoli and kale usually? If they do, you've got some remarkable children. I just saw some children immediately do that. Most likely, they choose all the stuff I like to eat. And you know that's not good for you, right? Part of what you got to do is explain to children, you don't know what's good for you. Let's explain to you what's good for you and then teach you to do it. What did Paul say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4? The problem, Timothy, is the time will come, they won't endure sound doctrine. So you've got to give them the word. So here is my point. When you find yourself thinking, I've got to come up with some really creative, imaginative sermon that'll just draw people in and really get their attention, that's that pragmatic mindset that's trying to appeal to people who don't even know what they should be valuing. When you just say, you know what? I'm going to start in Philemon 1, verse 1, and preach through the book. That's the most anti-pragmatic approach possible, which says, I'm not going to let anything set the agenda other than God's word, and that way I can try to make sure that God gets the glory. And here is the amazing thing that I've just found over and over again. I moved here, you know, 2 years ago, and I thought, well, I don't know how they'll go through, you know, with somebody preaching through the whole book of the Bible. So I'll pick Philemon, right, of one chapter, right? So see how that goes. And I really didn't know any of you other than, you know, Amy and then a few others that I had met in the past, but I didn't know anybody's stories. But I preached through the book of Philemon, which is a book about forgiveness and reconciliation. Not knowing anybody. You wouldn't believe how many people said, you have no idea how close to home that is. You were exactly right. I had no idea. But do you know who did have an idea? God. And last year especially, I can't tell you how many times because of all the stuff we were going through, or I just really didn't know, what am I going to preach on this week? And I just thought, well, I'll just do the next paragraph in Philippians. And one of you came out and said, that's just exactly what I needed to hear. Well, that doesn't, I don't get any credit for that. I didn't know what to do. I was just preaching the word. But God knows what we need. And God gets the glory when we just preach his word. Because ultimately he made us. And he knows what we need. And he knows that his word will give us exactly that. So that's the reason from time to time I like to just take a book and work through it. Because it just forces me to wrestle with the Bible and say, okay, Lord, you've given this book, and I'm like anybody else. I have my hobby horses, my pet issues. I don't want to do that. And I can take verses out of context, and I really don't want to do that. Force me to work through your word in front of these people and make me do it so that they see that I am being accountable for every verse of this book. And maybe some of them will be awake enough that at the end of it they'll say, hey, wait a minute, you skipped over that verse. You need to go back and do this and do it right. But most importantly, so that God gets the glory, and I know that while I don't know what you guys are going through, there's so many people with so many stories and so many things going on, that God in his word does know what we're dealing with. And I can just have confidence that I've just preached the word, and God's word will not return empty and void. Well, thanks for thinking with me tonight as I think through these things with you. We just finished the book of Philippians, a book of great joy, even in the midst of suffering and hardship. I hope that from time to time, as you go back through and read that book, you'll think about some of the things we talked about together, some of the lessons of that book, the significance of what it is to have joy in Jesus Christ that doesn't fluctuate with your circumstances, but which can remain firm even in the midst of changing circumstances, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we can help anybody tonight in your walk with the Lord, we'd love to do that. Why don't you let us know how we can help you while we stand and sing together.